You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Excuse me. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America who loves America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m. for effectual fervent prayer for President Donald Trump and for the United States of America. You're also invited to come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside the produce place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m. And now, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. We left off last time with our beautiful, anointed man of God friend, Stephen, being stoned to death for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked up to heaven as he was bleeding, and the phony baloney church leaders were the ones killing him, the scribes and Pharisees. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And then Stephen said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He knew that ere the silver cord breaks, the spirit returns to God the Father. And then he said one last thing. Let not this charge be upon them. Equivalent to what Jesus said at Jesus' last breath on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, witnessing all this was a young man named Saul, and Saul would never forget this. Now we go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I am entitling this, As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death.
This young man agreed that Stephen should die. Now, please understand this about Saul. Saul loved the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was very zealous for God. He loved God with all his heart. He just did not realize that the Messiah had come. And he thought that Jesus and anybody preaching Jesus was against the one true God. He was sincerely wrong, but he was very zealous about God. He was enthusiastic. And with all his heart, he was trying to do the right thing. But he was wrong.
And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church.
That was the first church that Jesus had founded right there in Jerusalem.
It was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria.
Remember, Samaria is where the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, not the 12 tribes, the house of Israel, scattered after they were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, before those 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Ireland, Scotland, England, and then came to the United States of America. That was before that.
Except the apostles.
Except the apostles. They stayed in their place in Jerusalem.
Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him.
Stephen was a great man of God. You know, he only preached that one sermon. But look at that. That's over 2,000 years ago. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people are blessed by his message. And I think the greatest thing of his destiny was that a young man, Saul, saw how a real Christian dies. We're not sad. We're glad. We're going to be with our Lord.
3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, healing men and women, and committed them to prison.
Healing means yanking them by the hair, pulling them down the hair, and putting them in prison. See, he loved God with all his heart. He just hadn't got to stage 2 to accept Jesus. He didn't know the Messiah had come. He was so zealous for God. He just was working for God, but he was totally wrong. Look at that. Do you know the Antichrist is about to come? He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. Matthew 25 says half of the body of Christ is going to worship him thinking he's Jesus. They're sincere, but they're wrong.
Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad were found everywhere preaching the word.
Look at that. The enemy made it for evil, but God turned it for good.
Amen.
You see, a real Christian, no matter what happens to you, the next place you go, you're going to tell about Jesus. You know, God told me to form a school some years ago, and about 3 different times, I was driven out by druggies, bad people, and I mean, it was a horrible experience, and it was terrible. But each time, each move, I went to a larger place, and I reached more people. The enemy means it for evil, but God will turn it for good. So don't despair.
Amen.
When the devil hits you. Just go on and do something better.
Amen.
Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
Now, Philip's name means lover of horses. He was one of the 7 chosen along with Stephen to help the Apostle Paul's. Now, you want to know this about Philip. Later on in Acts, we're going to find he's got 4 virginal daughters who are prophetesses. That means they are anointed preachers. 4 women, fancy that, preaching the gospel. Philip.
Amen. And preached Christ unto them. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
Why were so many miracles happening then? Because they were all one accord. They listened to Philip and they believed the gospel. Miracles are natural in the Church of Jesus Christ. You should not be surprised. Why is that? Because the one who works the miracles is alive. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And if we are alive, then he's not dead, he's walking among us. So of course miracles would be natural. But it has to be the one accord. If you have one person in your congregation who is of a different belief, it can hinder that. But miracles, signs, and wonders are a part of the Christian life, the Christian church, and they should be happening on a regular basis.
Amen.
7. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them.
Remember, Jesus said to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. So Philip was doing that. Now, I can assure you, Philip did not say with a soft voice, Mr. Demon, would you please come out of them? No, sound produces movement, and bullies are so loud you have to outshout them. I'm sure he said, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, you demonic force, come out.
Amen.
Sound produces Amen. Movement. So screaming they came out. Hallelujah. You don't mess around. You don't play little sweet little me with demons. Shout them out. Move them out.
And many that were taken with palsy,
that would be paralyzed.
And they that were lame were healed.
All things are possible with God.
Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city.
Why is that? Because the Bible says where the presence of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. In other words, God was there. I can't tell what kind of troubles you are. In America, you're in trouble, and some of you are in trouble. We all have trouble. That's a part of life. But I can tell you there's some kind of joy there. The joy will just rise up.
Yeah.
Because
Amen.
He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And don't forget, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
9. But there was a certain man called Simon.
Uh-oh. Now remember, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, but...
Which before time in the same cities used sorceries.
That's the Greek word pharmacia, from which our word pharmacy comes from. It means drugs. He was a drug pusher.
And bewitched the people of Samaria.
Understand that in the spiritual realm, witchcraft, sorceries, demons are real. They actually do exist, so don't think it's a fairy tale.
Living out that himself was some great one.
He told everybody he was a man of God. Look at all the things he could do. Now remember, you can do things in the devil's spirit. The devil has some power, but the devil is a copycat, and he also makes illusions. It looks like a miracle. While the devil is coming back in the sky pretending to be Jesus, he's going to bring lightning down from heaven. The whole world, Revelation 13, is going to think he's God. Half the body of Christ is going to call him Jesus just because of an illusionary miracle. Except it's phony.
Ten, to whom they all gave heed.
They paid attention.
From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God.
And so you see, how could they do that? He was bewitching them and using drugs. Well, how in the world is half the body of Christ going to worship the devil thinking he's Jesus? You haven't studied the word. We just got Revelation. Six comes before seven, folks.
Amen. 11. And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them.
Bewitched them, okay, that's of the devil.
With sorceries.
Druggies, hallucinations.
12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized.
Look at that. Truth will dispel the lie. I'll tell you, it is a beautiful thing. All of you who are addicted to drugs and hallucinatory items and all kind of things, sorceries and so forth, Jesus will set you free so that you don't ever need that alcohol again. You don't ever need that drug again. You don't ever need that anything again, that tobacco again. The truth will set you free.
Both men and women. 13. Then Simon himself believed also.
Now, did Simon believe, or was he going along with the crowd? I mean, you know, sometimes there's a belief in your head, intellectual, because everybody else is saying Jesus is Lord. But you see, the heart. Was this an intellectual belief, or was it a heart belief? Many people go to church all their lives, and Jesus is never in their heart, but he's in their head, and they think they're saved, but it's not in the heart. Look out.
And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip.
He stayed with Philip. Why?
And wondered, beholding miracles and signs.
He stayed because he was watching all of these miracles and signs the Lord Jesus was performing through Philip. See, it was the power of the Holy Spirit doing this. Don't forget that Simon was famous for that. People loved him. He was a narcissist. All he thought about was me, myself, and I, and he got money for it. So he's fascinated by this, so he stayed with them. Man, I want this thing.
Which were done. 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
In other words, the first church said, oh, that's so wonderful, all those people are getting saved down there in Samaria. It's too much for Philip. We'll send our very best, and we'll send the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop, Peter and John, and they'll help Philip.
15. Who, when they came down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Look at that. The people had accepted Jesus. They were saved, and they had been water baptized. But they did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christian church all over America, all over the world, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the greatest thing that ever happened to you except being saved by Jesus Christ and getting the word. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't even know how to pray. Romans 8:26 says you don't know how to pray as you ought to, but the Holy Spirit would intercede for you with groanings,
Amen.
Which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. You don't know how to hear the voice of God. You don't know how to witness. You don't know how to go here or do that. The Holy Spirit guides you, leads you, do that. So, this is separate. Now, when you got saved, the Spirit of Jesus came to you, but that's not the filling. See, Christians, you think it's not important. I would cry and sigh and ask and seek. I would fall on my face and scream for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you seek with all your heart, not so you'll be famous, not so you'll be able to do exploits, but so you'll be useful. You're of no use except you have the Holy Spirit as a Christian. You're sweet and nice. You'll go to heaven, but you're just watching the show. Come on, we need you to help us fight.
Amen.
Be
Amen.
Baptized with the Holy Spirit.
16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them.
Now you know also in a group, there could be one person in a group who's shut off, who's maybe, let's just say we had a New Age person in here, or a person who's not really saved, a person who doesn't like the Holy Spirit, doesn't believe in all that. They actually hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit. The one accord thing is what does it. I found in leading groups, it's when I've got everybody in the room on one page, one accord, everybody filled with the Spirit, boy, do things happen. Amen. God moves.
Yeah. Amen.
Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Well, that's good. That's why you should be baptized.
17. Then lay them, their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit.
Now, it is God who baptizes people with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I have a baptism of fire with which to baptize you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus said of a man or woman, or of a boy or girl who has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're a vessel. In other words, you're filled. It's all inside of you running over. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The rivers of living water are the symbol of the power of the Holy Spirit, dynamite power, dunamis power. And out of your belly is where the Holy Spirit is. So, God will use a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, who's filled with the fire, filled with the baptism, to lay hands on another. If the other person will not resist, if they are open and God is ready to give them that, like a conduit, the Holy Spirit will come up out of you, go through your arms and hands, and come upon that other person. The person praying does not lose any of theirs, because it's a river of living water. The well never runs dry, but it's a transfer. Understand? Yes. It's beautiful. Well, don't they tell you about coronavirus? Don't you touch anybody? All right. If you can carry a disease, why not carry the Holy Spirit? You want to be a carrier, not of the virus. Be a carrier of the Word of God. Amen. Be a carry of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Lay hands on the sick and let them recover. Hallelujah. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
18. And when Simon saw that, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. 19. Saying, give me also this power, that of whomsoever are they hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit.
All right. He's so used to people giving him money when he would do those little miracles and signs and wonders and give them drugs, he thinks it has to be bought. You know, you cannot buy salvation. There are churches that have people pay money and they say, we'll pray your loved one out of hell or the wrong side of the gulf. They call it something else. I won't use it over the air. And you can't buy the Holy Spirit. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a gift of God. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will be beside you. And he will pray through you. And he will help you live the Christian life. It's a precious, precious gift. Now, I want to explain something. It is not wrong for you as a Christian to ask for the gifts of Holy Spirit. I ask for all of them. Every time I find one in the Bible, I ask for it. I ask for all nine in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And whenever I need one, God gives it to you. Don't give me any glory. I don't get it for fame and fortune. I don't charge. And I don't get fame. I get persecuted. But I do it because I love people. And I want to lay hands on the sick. And I want you to recover. I want miracles to happen. I want people to prophesy. I want people to be healed and saved.
Amen.
And if you want it for that reason, you can ask for it. But you can't buy. You can't buy God.
20. But Peter said unto him, my money perish with thee.
Peter is under the anointing of Holy Spirit. Now, one of those gifts of Holy Spirit is a gift of prophecy. You can kind of foretell something. Now, this same Simon really is kind of playing a game. He intellectually wants this because this is power, but he wants the power for himself. Now, if you have a Smith's Bible Dictionary, it's a good thing to have. You can read what happened to Simon. He was really doing sorceries and miracles by the power of the devil, and Peter's going to give us that information in a few minutes. What actually happened to him, he began to think that the spirit of the devil working in him, Simeon did, that it was the Holy Spirit. And just like Lucifer in the world that was then, Lucifer said, I will be God. Lucifer's a devil. Simon said, I have just as much power as Jesus. If the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, since I, Simon, am a great man of God, I'm filled with the Spirit, except it was the spirit of the devil. It was an illusion. It was fake. It was phony. He said, they could raise me from the dead. So Smith's Bible Dictionary tells us that what happened to him, he told his followers, dig a hole and bury me alive in it, and 3 days I will come out. Simon never did come out. Lord have mercy. Well, let's finish our story here. Now see, Peter foretold that prophecy. Peter saw that.
Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
Nope.
21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
You don't even know what our ministry is all about. Listen to me, Christian. Be very careful with any ministry that you align yourself with. If you're in the ministry or you have a ministry, you see, I don't seek every Tom, Dick, and Harry because I know where I'm calling. I know what I'm called for. I know where I'm going. I'm not looking for crowds. I'm looking for dedicated, Holy Spirit-filled people sold out to Jesus.
Yes,
totally sold out.
Amen.
And we'll work together as a group to get this Jesus and the Bible to the America, the whole wide world.
Amen.
Be careful. Don't align yourself with just anybody. Many people come to church and they have the foggiest idea of what you're really about. Many people join so they can have a place they want to buy. They'll even give money so they can be the head deacon or they can sing be the soloist in the choir or be somebody. No, 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 no. You be careful. Always go for the heart. God will show you the right people. Love the others, bless them, but don't align yourself. And in your personal life, what fellowship hath darkness with light? Your relationships, your marriages, have mercy. Be not unequally yoked.
Amen.
Yeah.
For thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
God looks on the heart. See, Simon was doing everything right outside, but he had a wrong motivation.
22. Now repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee.
Peter was giving him a chance. Confess your sin. Did you know even your thoughts can be sin? God knows your thoughts. Repent of even the thought of this. Repent means to stop, turn from it. And you know, if Simon had done that, he would never have buried himself alive and stayed dead there in the grave.
23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness.
Now, Peter tells who's really leading Simon. Bitterness is a Greek word, wormwood. Remember in Revelation, the star coming down from heaven is called wormwood. That's Lucifer calling himself the bright morning star, coming down as Jesus, the Son of God, the fake Christ, before Jesus comes, the Antichrist, calling himself God, wormwood, bitter.
And in the bond of iniquity.
Iniquity, the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, perdition, appallin, none other than the Antichrist. In other words, Peter says, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of the devil. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you worship the Antichrist, who's going to call himself Jesus, as many in the body of Christ do, you'll be worshiping the devil. And woe, woe, woe.
24. Then answered Simon, and he said, pray thee to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken would come upon me.
You know, he's not even sorry that he hurt God or you know, just had sinned. Every time you sin, don't just always say, oh my God, I don't want you to punish me, God. How about you hurt God? Every time we sin, we hurt God. He's your nearest kin to redeem him. He's not sorry about that. Also, you can tell Simon has no personal relationship with God. He's got to have someone else pray for him. I'm an intercessory prayer. And if you ever say hello to me and give me your name, you're on my 3-hour list every morning. And I pray fervently you by name and whatever God tells me to pray for you every day of my life. But you want to learn also how yourself to pray to God, to be able to go into the Holy of Holies and pray. But the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. The only way you'll ever pray right is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem.
Now that's Peter and John. They just preached some more. There's everywhere they went. They shared the word of God. But see, each one of you is to be a messenger of the word of God. You have that ministry of reconciliation. Everybody you meet is your mission field. Every person you meet, every text you have, everybody is your mission field. Are you telling the story? Are you telling them of Jesus? Are you saying, are you saved? May I pray with you to repent of your sins? Do you do that? Or you just change the subject? Come on, Christians, let's be about our Father's business. Let us win souls. The time is short. The time will come when man's work is done.
And preach the gospel unto many villages of the Samaritans. 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip.
The angel of the Lord is always the presence of God. Now this is the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to Philip. Philip is led by the Spirit of God. He's the Son of God. Now, when you are submitted and baptized, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. It's like a slight of a 1/16 of a fraction of an inch of a nuance of a nudge. But you begin to know it. I always call it my little Uman and my Thuman. Like in the Old Testament, the priest said, I can feel it. It's going like this. And I never miss it. You get to recognize it. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. The Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to the man of God. He's speaking to you. Do you hear him?
Amen.
Saying, arise and go to the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza.
That's the West Bank. That's the Gaza Strip. Over there where they're having all that trouble. Go there, Philip.
Which is desert. 27. And he arose and went.
Okay, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, say something, pray for someone, go somewhere, give something, do that. Don't put it off. Sometimes you say, oh, I think the Holy Spirit led me. Okay, Lord, I'll pray for that person in a few minutes. Let me finish this. Lord, let me finish this text right here. Let me call this person first. Let me finish cleaning up this area. No. Turn on a dime, because God's Spirit is, his timing is so great. If Philip had not obeyed right then at that moment, somebody we're about to meet might not have eternal life. Do you understand? Don't wait 1 minute. Drop everything. Turn on a dime and do it right then. If he says pray, pray. If he says give, give. If he says go, go. If he says don't. Whatever it is, right then. You understand?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, under great authority of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians.
Okay. Now, an Ethiopian is not Hebrew. But remember, Jesus said, I've come first to the lost tribes of Israel, and then he opened the door to whosoever will, the Gentiles. Now, this man is a eunuch. A eunuch is either born that way or he was castrated. Now, you notice that he has a great authority over the queen of Ethiopia. Candace is not her name. That is the title of the queen of Ethiopia. Like Pharaoh is the title of all the rulers of Egypt. Notice every time they're called Pharaoh, like President of the United States is called the President. So we have different ones. By the way, let's keep President Trump for 4 more years. Can we do that?
Yeah.
4 more years. Okay. Hallelujah. So he has great authority. A lot of times in Bible times, if a man was going to go in and minister to a woman, say the king's wife or a queen, they would castrate the man so he could not sexually molest them. But this man has great wealth, and here he is.
Who had the charge of all her treasuries.
He was the secretary of the treasury, so he's wealthy himself. He is in a chariot and he's got a driver and there's a lot of money there.
I had come to Jerusalem for to worship.
Look at that. He was seeking God. He had heard that God was in Jerusalem. God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. See, if you would seek the baptism with all your heart and learn that it's essential so you can have power. Jesus says you shall have power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, not before. If you would seek with all your heart, you would find him. I sought God with all my heart. I was saved as a little girl. I knew I had a calling, but I knew there was more. And I sought, I sought, I sought. I asked. Guess what? I found him whom my soul loveth, and I will not let him go. Jesus, the Son of God, my Lord, my King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Ethiopian is searching for him.
28, was returning and sitting in his chariot.
He was returning, but he didn't get saved. He worshiped, but something was missing there.
Read Isaiah.
Okay, I'll just open my Bible here and I'll read. Y'all just read.
The prophet, 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip.
Okay, the Holy Spirit's orchestrating all of this. Philip, turn on a dime now.
Go near and join thyself to this chariot.
Now see, that could be dangerous. Philip doesn't know who this man is. Somebody could get killed.
30. And Philip ran thither to him.
As soon as the Holy Spirit does something, run. If he says pray, all right, I guess I'll go to prayer meeting. Okay, I guess I'll go to church. All right, I guess I'll give my tithe. Okay, I guess I'll go visit that person. For God's sake, why don't you just quit? God loves a cheerful giver. Run to do God's word. You are God's hands. You are God's mouth. You are God's feet. You're an ambassador for Christ. How dare you sit still? Run to do the work of God.
Amen.
And you heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest?
Do you know what you're reading there, says Philip?
31, and he said, how can I accept that some man guide me?
I don't understand it.
And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. 32.
Now, that is great faith. That Ethiopian was wealthy. If Philip had not been a good man. If he'd been a murderer, he could have killed him and stole his money. It's also dangerous for Philip. But you see, there comes a point when you're going to obey God and you're not going by logic, because if you obey God, that's the most logical thing to do. Common sense is always to obey God. Wisdom is always to obey God. Just do what God tells you to do. Most of the time, it won't make much sense.
The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. 33. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.
He is reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus, our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was led as a dumb sheep to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He came to die. He came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Isaiah 53:5 says, excuse me, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. And he died. He died. He was crucified.
34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?
So he says, is he talking about Isaiah? Is Isaiah, was he killed, or is he talking about somebody else? See, look at the Ethiopian. He's trying to find a Savior.
35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
God sent his Son, led like a sheep to the slaughter, came to die. and pay the sin debt. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. Why the blood? The life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. On the third day, Jesus arose from the dead. Believe and be baptized, and Jesus is coming again.
Amen. 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water.
Look at that. Do you think maybe the living water made some physical water?
Amen. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
He knew it's supposed to be water baptized. It's your first confession that you believe that Jesus died and arose from the dead.
37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest.
All thy heart.
And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Jesus says that whoever confesses Jesus before men, God will confess him. Jesus will confess him before God. And Paul will tell us that confession is made to salvation in Romans chapter 9. I ask now that every person in the United States of America, Michael Larkin, Chile, other places of the world hearing this broadcast, let us all confess with the eunuch. Here we go. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's put a little fire there. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One more time. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still.
See, told his driver, stop, I'm going to be baptized.
And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip.
The Holy Spirit is so powerful. Sometimes he does a great quick work. You can be right here, and suddenly the Holy Spirit, because he is God, will just have you over here. It's just God power. He does a quick work. Remember that time that they were trying to kill Jesus and push him over a cliff, and Jesus just disappeared? He became invisible and walked through them. So the Holy Spirit just says, okay, Philip, finish there. Go here. Holy Spirit, wow, power.
That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
The eunuch could say, I found him whom my soul loveth, and I will not let him go. My sins are forgiven. Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
40. But Philip was found at Azotus.
Now that would be Ashdod. That's right there in the Gaza Strip on the west bank from Ashdod to Caesarea. What was he doing there? He's preaching the word of God.
And in passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
In the book of Joshua chapter 15, God gave Judah that territory, but Judah never claimed it. That's why they have all that fight. But Philip claimed it for God right then. And don't forget, he's got four virginal daughters who a prophetess says they're anointed speakers of God's word, and they have planted that word there. Do you realize that word right there on the Gaza Strip is still alive because it's the breath of God?
Amen.
And soon and very soon, after the shortened time of the Antichrist, the living word of God, our Savior Jesus, that same Jesus, will come and stand there, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we'll begin right there next time. At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a great word tonight. That was awesome.
Thank you very much. Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 23.
That is so great, Scott. Thank you. Great. Amen. Scott. Great. Amen. Scott. So, that is so great. Thank you very much, Scott.
You're
Merson.
Welcome,
I appreciate that. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but first, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved and not sure you're saved, pray this prayer. Mean it with all your heart like the Ethiopian did, and God will save you. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Omission and commission. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with your blood.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit. And use me. To declare. The word of God. And win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now, for those of you who confess that, I invite you to leave that message on my voicemail. In a little bit, you'll hear my telephone number. Now, I want to pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings, as you said in Malachi chapter 4. Those who fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings, the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue. I see there is someone, you're afraid you have the coronavirus because you're fighting fever. All right, we can speak to the fever, whatever it is. Now, I want to tell you that the Bible calls fever an it. It's not a condition, it's an it. Do you remember that Jesus was invited to Peter's house for food? And Peter's mother-in-law was sick of the fever. And Jesus spoke to the fever, and it, the fever, left her. Fever is a demon. The coronavirus is demonic. Amen. In the name and the power of Jesus. Anyone with coronavirus, the fever, I command you to loose these people. Yes. Go to the abyss and never recover. Yes. Let the temperature come down. Oh, be healed in the name of Jesus. Yes. Coronavirus has no power. Fever be gone. Temperature normal. Yes. Live and not die. He sent his word and healed you. The mighty name of Jesus. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. Glory to God in the highest.
Lord.
Oh, somebody got that. You want to call and tell that miracle too. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, you know, nothing's given to us to keep. All of these beautiful truths you get here, they're given to you to give away. It's a sin not to. Go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I thank you for loving the God I love. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together again as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing. Keep singing, holy is the Lord, God Almighty, the earth is filled with his glory, holy is.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go. Never leave my side. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am.
Nothing good in me.